Hello, this is Allison Carter with the Special Needs Podcast. This is episode 4, and today we'll continue talking about tactile sensory processing. Before I get started, I would like to ask you to please send me an email with any questions or comments that you have. I would love to hear from you and even just get some feedback on what you think of the show so far. I would like to make the show what you all want, not just what I think you want, but I can't do that unless you send me your emails. So if you like what you hear, or if I'm boring you to tears, just let me know. My email is Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com. On the previous show, I started talking about tactile sensory processing, and I gave you some information about what you might see in kids who have trouble with this area. The main example I used was kids that get very upset or anxious about water getting in their face during bath time. There are so many things going through my head with even just that one example that I wanted to make sure you get this point, and that is that kids don't need to learn to like getting splashed. Let's face it, most people in general don't like getting splashed with water. The difference is we don't like it mainly because it's just annoying, but the kids with tactile sensory issues don't like it because they perceive it as a painful or uncomfortable feeling on their skin. The functional issue here is that it can be very difficult for parents to wash their kids' hair because inevitably some of the water will go down on their face when you're rinsing the soap out, no matter how hard you try to prevent it. Kids with tactile sensory issues will remember this from the previous bath times and they will do whatever they can to prevent it from happening again. This makes baths stressful and upsetting for everyone involved when the child cries or screams to try and make you stop. Now, moving on past the water stuff for now and on to the messy stuff. The same concept applies with this in that these kids have a negative reaction to the way certain things feel on their skin. It doesn't make sense a lot of times, but you just have to know that for some reason, their brain is telling them that doesn't feel good. The idea with the exposures is that eventually their brain will become familiar with the way the textures feel, and it can start to make those textures more tolerable. They may never love the feelings completely, but these kids could learn to accept them and deal with them over time. I see this so much when working with kids and families on eating and mealtime issues. Back in my first episode, I gave a general overview of all the senses, and I talked about the sense of touch and how it is connected to oral sensory processing. Part of oral sensory processing is how we process textures and flavors in our mouth. Your tongue helps your brain determine what the food or drink is like, and your brain helps you determine if it tastes good or not and if it feels okay or not. Some people prefer chewy over mushy textures or salty versus sweet flavors. When I'm talking about tactile sensory processing, I want you to understand that there are some people that are more sensitive to the way things feel, and there are people who have a difficult time with recognizing when something is touching them. Very much the opposite of each other. For this show, I'm talking about the kids that don't like the way things feel. I can touch on the other side another day. As I said before, there is so much to talk about with this. The ability to explore our environment with our hands and mouths begins when we're infants. Here's a generalized progression of this exploration in a typical developing child. As a baby, they will nurse or take a bottle from birth without gagging or choking. They start to put their hands and feet in their mouth. They may take a pacifier or suck their thumb. Then they learn to hold on to rattles and they bring these and other toys to their mouths. When they start to eat baby foods, they will often put their fingers in their mouths when it's full of food and begin to play in the food on their high chair tray, and inevitably some of it ends up in their hair. Then they eventually move on to picking up finger foods and they start to explore these foods with their hands before putting them into their mouths. Once they transition to only table foods, you can offer them the same thing that the rest of the family is eating for virtually all their meals. For kids with tactile sensory difficulties, it may look quite a bit different. Again, these are major, major generalizations. Not all kids with sensory issues do these things, and not all kids that do these things have sensory issues. I am overgeneralizing for the sake of trying to help people understand it. As infants, the kids with tactile sensory issues may have trouble with learning to latch on for feeding. When they latch on, they may gag or choke at some point during each feeding. They may resist or seem uncomfortable with being cradled and held close during feedings or any time in between. Reflux might be an issue. They're probably not a thumb sucker and won't take a pacifier. They don't put their hands and their feet in their mouth, and they've never really brought toys to their mouths for exploration. They may show a preference for only wanting to hold certain toys, like either a soft stuffed animal or hard plastic toys or rattles. When baby foods are introduced, they frequently gag on the first few bites, or maybe intermittently during the meal. They quickly show a preference for certain flavors of baby foods by usually gagging on the ones that they don't like and eating the other ones really well. Each time a new texture or flavor is introduced, you can expect them to gag or spit it back out. And after trying a couple of times, parents usually stop offering it because it seems wasteful. They will pick up and feed themselves certain finger foods, usually ones like crackers or dry cereal. They will either allow the parent to feed them with a spoon longer than typical for their age, or they will start using a spoon better than other kids their age when they first learn. As they continue to grow and transition to all table foods, there are only a few consistent things they will eat. Many of these kids will not eat foods that you would normally dip in sauces like ketchup, barbecue, or ranch, or any food that touches their hand, they immediately want to have it wiped off by their parent. And if it doesn't happen fast enough, they may become upset or anxious very quickly. This can easily and very quickly turn into a meltdown, and the meal would be over before you even know what happened. Parents often have to make their child something different than what the rest of the family is eating for meals. Now, I usually start seeing these kids for occupational therapy when they're anywhere from usually 1.5 to 2 years old. There's no reason for that, only that it just seems to be the time frame when parents start to realize they need outside help with figuring things out. A lot of the kids I see in this situation also have a speech therapist. It seems like most of the time with this type of sensory issues, the kids also tend to start talking later than they should for their age. There are also motor planning issues that can affect their ability to talk. Motor planning with speech has to do with your brain telling your mouth and facial muscles how to move to form words. They may have the words in their head, but they're having trouble getting the words to come out like they want or to come out at all. This would be a great topic to discuss with a speech therapist. At some point, I would like to try and have someone come on and do an interview with them for this show also, so they can explain it from their point of view. Now, where do we start with helping these kids? First, I should say that I'm looking at this strictly from a tactile sensory perspective. I rarely see kids that are only affected by one area of sensation like this, so there are so many other things to consider here, but for today's purpose, I just want to try and keep it focused on only the tactile stuff. Since I usually come into the picture once parents have identified there's an issue here that they need help with, I'm going to start with that in mind and with this show as well. If you're listening, there's a chance you are already at the same point with your child. If not, hopefully you can keep this in mind with your younger child and try to encourage these things early on so you might prevent them from getting to this point. We start by figuring out which types of textures they like to touch and which ones they don't, and anything in between. For this, I'm not only talking about the foods they will touch, but also things like Play-Doh, water beads, sand, grass, or simple things like even just the touchy-feely books with different textures in them. We also figure out what they will consistently eat, what are the go-to foods that they will never turn down, and what are the foods they will consistently refuse to eat. From here, we can start to piece together what they like and don't like about each of these things. Also, what is their tolerance to the things they don't like that much? Will they even look at the things? Will they allow them to be on the table in front of them or on their plate or their high chair tray for meals? Will they pick it up or will they push it off their plate with their hands or just cry or scream and get upset with just the sight of it? Then we start to put a plan in place for exposing them to the different textures. I suggest starting during playtimes in between meals. Even though the ultimate goal is to get them to eat a larger variety of foods, we do not start there directly. It works much better to start introducing the non-preferred textures during playtimes, where the child is not expected to eat anything at all. In fact, the focus is really on just getting comfortable with touching these things with their hands and sometimes with their feet too. These play sessions are meant to be fun. The parent, therapist, siblings, any other person who is there at the time should be invited and should be getting involved. It is hard for the kids to resist playing when it looks like other people are having so much fun, especially when it's their parents and siblings. A big key factor here, whoever is involved, they need to be okay with touching these textures as well. If a sibling has a negative reaction to touching something, then this child is also not going to want to do it. Same with the parents. But the parents need to find a way to push through it and make it look like it's a lot of fun, even if they don't really like it that much either. We want to show these kids that it's okay, and nothing bad is going to happen to them by touching these things. As I said before, kids can have similar sensory systems to their parents. If we can get them going with this stuff early on, just maybe we can help them be less sensitive by the time they become adults too. Our brains are much more susceptible to change when we're little, so by repetition, we may be able to help their brains make some changes in the way they perceive how things feel. Getting back to what we do for these guys, in my beginning sessions, I will usually start with the things they are okay with, but they don't necessarily love to touch. This may be something simple like different textured squishy balls, ones with spikes on them, or ones that have sand or beads inside like stress balls. We gradually move up through the range of comfort to things that they absolutely refuse to touch. But this is a very, very, very slow process. It can take months to get through these textures up to the more difficult ones. It really is dependent on how each child responds. Some of them surprise me and start accepting the new textures sooner than others. But the idea with all of this is to start with what they're comfortable with and move through gradually, changing as you go until they're working with the textures that they didn't like before. The play sessions will become familiar and predictable to these kids, which, as you go along, it makes it easier for them to want to participate. When you start with the things they like and gradually start working through the other things, they typically do okay with it as long as you don't force anything and you go with their comfort level. Let me give a real-life possible scenario of what I'm talking about. Let's say the child is okay with touching Play-Doh. I would start by using this to get them into touching something, even though it's something they're okay with. We would set it up at their little play table or on the floor with a cookie sheet or somewhere like that. The point is, we're not going to do this at the table or high chair where they eat their meals. The reason is we don't want to start out with anxious feelings. Usually they have a little bit of anxiety or stress just from the thought of eating their meals. Up to this point, maybe their parents have been trying their best to get them to eat new foods, and there can sometimes be a lot of stress for the parent and the child when the child refuses to try them. The parents usually can't understand what's going on, and the child can't tell them either. It can be very stressful. If we try to sit them there for our play sessions, they will immediately get into a defensive mode, and it will make it more difficult for us to get them to open up. Eventually, we will end up here, but that could be a ways down the road. So when we get out the Play-Doh, we start just by playing with the Play-Doh as they would normally play with it. The next step would be to find a way to incorporate another thing that they are probably okay with touching, but it may not be something they totally love. It could just be something new that they've never seen or experienced before, but maybe not offensive to touch. I might try something like those little squishy, rubbery, feely toys like lizards or fish or little creatures that you can find at the dollar stores. Start using these little creature things to walk on top of the Play-Doh, smash the Play-Doh, jump on it, or put the Play-Doh on top of them like a blanket so they can go night-night, or any different kind of play schemes that you can think of that would pair the two different textures together. One texture that they like for sure, with one that is either new or that they're only slightly unsure about. Again, the key with this is making it a fun game. Their interaction with these things is dependent on how much of a threat they perceive these toys and the adults that are participating in the activity to be. So make sure it is fun and no one is forcing their hands to touch the creatures. We can just encourage them by modeling the actions with the toys and making them available for the kids to imitate with if they want to. place some of the creatures close to their space, if they're okay with it, and if you need to put them farther away on the table or in the room, then do that until they get comfortable enough to move them closer. This beginning part really sets the tone and the stage for the rest of the progression through this, so we want to make sure we are doing this at their pace and comfort level. This is really why I recommend you work with an occupational therapist or find one that can help you guide you through this process. This process is really all about gradually increasing the challenges for these kids, adding new textures slowly over time, getting closer and closer toward the textures that they are or were refusing before getting started with all of this. Whenever possible, I like to move from using non-edible toys to using foods to play with instead. As a new person coming to see them, I generally start with the toys, but fairly quickly switch over to using foods instead. I would again start with playing or interacting with foods or snacks that they consistently like to eat and are fine with touching. Then, just like with the Play-Doh and the toys, we introduce a second or different food that they don't always eat or touch, but sometimes they do. This would get introduced along with the other food that they do like. For example, maybe they like to eat goldfish crackers. If they never turn these down, you're good to go. So you put these again on the cookie sheet on their play table, and we also have the applesauce available. This means it is sitting on the table across from them or somewhere in the room, depending on their comfort level. I would recommend using the individual cups of applesauce for this so they can hold the cup while the lid is still on. And if they're interested, they can help you open it. I would not ask or expect them to eat it. This may seem strange, but I would actually just dump some of it on the tray or the table. They can help with this also if they want to. There should be no demands placed on them. Just making things available and modeling for them is the best thing to do at this point. You might be surprised what they're willing to do if they think it is their own idea and if they have control over whether or not they participate at all. Finding creative ways to make these things available to them by combining the things they like and don't like together in the play activities can be tricky, but it can also be a very effective way of helping them get used to new textures. During all of this play, even with foods, we are not expecting them or asking them to eat any of it. The second you do that, you could be setting them back again, and it could make them want to be done playing with the foods at all. At this point in the play, you're simply just trying to get them to be okay with touching the foods or interacting in some way with them. I would maybe start by taking the goldfish and letting them go swimming around in the applesauce, which I might say they're swimming in the pool or the ocean. You can just model for them, drop a fish into the ocean maybe repeatedly, a couple of times. Have some of the goldfish available close to them, so if they want to imitate you, they can also make the fish go swimming. I would also move on from there to actually pushing the fish through the ocean, through the applesauce, and modeling for them how the fish can actually go swimming through it and end up on the dry tray. The progression, as I said before, it really depends on the child's responses and their comfort level. Do not push them to move too fast through it. If they're getting anxious, you need to slow down and back up to the previous action that they were comfortable with. Now notice, I haven't said anything about asking them to eat anything, even the goldfish, which we know they like. I would assume that they will probably eat the goldfish while you're playing, and that's of course fine. I would also suggest that you eat some goldfish. Just don't make a big deal about it. Continue playing at the same time. At some point, maybe down the road, after doing this several times or after a week or so, you can move on to where they're touching the applesauce more. And you might have a lick of it off of your own finger while you're playing. Maybe they will imitate you and maybe not. And that's okay. This could be a long time before they imitate this. We have to be very patient during this time. The key really is just to model, watch your reaction. Because if you look like it's fine, then they're probably going to believe that it's fine and they may want to try it too. What I have found here is that once you get through this initial time, the more things you are able to introduce in this way that feel safe to them, the easier it will get as you go along. They start to get the idea of the process of these activities, and it all starts to become familiar. Now, I know I've said this before, but once things become familiar, they're less scary, and kids are more willing to accept them or show interest in things that are familiar. I could go on with this for hours and hours, but I want to leave it at this for today. If you want more information on how to move on from this point, please send me an email, Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com, and we can go from there. Hopefully, though, I have given you a starting point, or at least help you understand the concept of tactile sensory therapy with eating. There is so much more to say on this topic and how to actually get these kids to eat and taste the new foods and move on from there. However, I wanted to get you started from this beginning part, if you're seeing it with your child. Remember, we're not going to force them or make them touch these things. Just encourage them by modeling and doing it in front of them. They need to have the control during this time. And remember, kids are naturally curious. They want to play with their parents. So if you start here, you're going to be setting the stage for moving on to the next steps of tasting. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. I can't give you all the answers here, but I hope you're able to think about it in a new way and maybe get something from it to get started with your own kids. If you like the show and you'd like to continue listening to me ramble on about stuff, you could help me do that by simply making all of your Amazon purchases through my website, mymidwesttherapy.com. Just go there, click on any of my Amazon links. The links will take you to the Amazon site and you can make any purchase you want. It doesn't even have to be any of the products I have listed. I will get a little kickback from that, and it won't cost you any more than any other time you shop on Amazon. Plus, you'll be helping me work towards my goal of doing this show full-time and being able to bring you more than 2 shows per week. I would really like to try and create a community of people coming together with resources and open discussions within the special needs community. You guys can help me do that by supporting me on Amazon and also by sending me emails with questions and feedback about the show. Again, one more time, my email is Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com. One other request, then I'm done. Since I'm new to this and my show is new to iTunes, I don't have any reviews or stars yet, guys. If you could take a minute to send a review, positive ones are definitely encouraged. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening.